Let's turn in God's Word now to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10, and we'll be reading the end of the chapter, verses 16 through 20. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 16 through 20. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His help. Our Father, we give You praise and we're thankful that, again, You speak to us. And as we plead for Your help, let us not think that we just need Your assistance. We need Your full help, Your grace, Your Holy Spirit to work. Otherwise, we cannot understand what we read with our eyes and hear with our ears. We cannot believe what we hear. We cannot obey what we hear. We cannot live it out. And so, Father, we ask for Your help, Your full help, by Your Holy Spirit, that You would illumine our hearts and our minds, which still have either are fully in darkness and in sin, or still have remaining sin. Shine a light in the dark places. And magnify Your Son. Help us to look above the Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 16. These are the holy, infallible words of God. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thoughts, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Those are God's words. This chapter we've been asking the question, and Solomon, the preacher, is answering, the Lord through Solomon is answering the question, is what is folly? What are the effects of folly? We've learned folly destroys. It leads to eternal destruction. Folly is looking under the sun, dwelling under the sun, seeking everything under the sun, here and now. And our calling is to see this folly for what it is, as vanity of vanities, and turn to the Lord above the sun, not under the sun where the vanities are here on earth, to keep looking here on earth, but to turn above the sun to Jesus Christ, to seek after and find wisdom and pursue wisdom. We've heard that folly destroys a good name, that folly destroys man's actions, that folly is unnecessarily rebellious, that foolish actions are destructive and foolish words are destructive. And as we continue now in verse 16, the first point, as we come to the end of the chapter, we look at the folly of inexperience. The folly of inexperience. In verse 16 it says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. A child for a king doesn't sound very good for a nation. A child for a ruler. The Lord says, woe to thee, O land. Kings are not to be willful or stubborn like children, to do exactly what the king wants to do, no matter the consequences or the effects. Often we see that in children. They see what they want to do, and they do it no matter the consequence. We also see this in rulers at times, when not only are they children, but they act like children. And that's what Solomon's really getting at. Those who rule, who act like children, act the part of the fool in their inexperience. A child ruler, a childlike ruler, Rules based on emotions, what they feel like, and this can eventually lead to being tyrannical. Of governing rulers or rulers being oppressive. This we've seen as a vanity before in Ecclesiastes, leading to oppression. They exercise their power not in what's best for the whole nation, but for themselves. And that leads to ruling in a cruel way. Whole nations are depending upon the king or rulers, governing authorities. But all he cares about the foolish king, is all he cares about is himself. Whole nations depending on the government, all they care about is themselves. And that's the folly of inexperience. That's the folly of a child who's a ruler or a childlike ruler. And all those who act like children as rulers. The Lord here is showing us that such is a foolish ruler. Such a wicked ruler is evidence of the Lord's displeasure against the nation. When you have rulers like this, like a child or who act like children, where all they care about is themselves, that is evidence from the Lord that He is displeased with the nation. He says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child." The Lord is displeased against the nation if there is a child on a throne, or people acting like children who are ruling. Think of some scriptures. The first, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it's a longer passage. 1 Samuel 8, it says, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done this day, since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, albeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them.' And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, 'This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he'll take your fields and he'll take your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them and give them to his servants. And he'll take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he'll take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he'll take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Why would they be crying out? Because all that they've had now, their children are being given to the king. Now their land is being given to the king. Now the things that they work for, they're going to the king. Everything's going to the government, the ruler, instead of them themselves. That's what they get. And then their judgment, partial judgment from the Lord, because they didn't want the Lord as king. A couple other verses, Job 34. "That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared." That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Proverbs 28, "For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. If there be a childlike ruler over you, it's because the Lord is displeased with the nation. And the Lord is displeased and has been displeased with this nation for a long time. For even from the beginning of our nation, they failed to covenant with Christ. And from the beginning added sins upon sins. And we've heard before of the slavery Even in the Constitution, from the very beginning, slavery and encouraging false religions and false worship with the First Amendment, encouraging false religions. Well, we could go on and on. Most of you remember that. But 1 Kings 10 gives us the opposite to confirm what he says here in verse 16. Solomon, the wisest king, said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." He made Solomon king, the wisest, one of the wisest men, the wisest man on the earth ever, not including the God-man Jesus Christ, because he loved Israel forever. But to wicked nations, he gives wicked rulers. He gives foolish rulers, childlike rulers. We know, beloved, that there have been some rulers who were children who did okay because they had counselors early on, and then through those counselors, they grew to be wise. And that's in Scripture. There's examples of that in Scripture. And so it's not just the king's a child, and therefore woe to thee, O land. It's the ones who act like a child, who's a fool. Again, Solomon is an example of this in 1 Kings 3. It says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You see, Solomon was pleading with the Lord, "Don't make me a fool, make me wise. Don't just give me riches," is what the Lord goes on to say. Don't give me riches and these things that are pleasurable. That's the childlike fool who's a ruler. That's what that a childlike ruler does. But rather he sought for wisdom. And so, as we've said, Solomon here isn't so much speaking of a child as a ruler, but more a ruler who lives and acts like a child, a typical child. And as we recounted here in Ecclesiastes, it wasn't until Solomon was older as king that he acted like a fool and searched out many vanities and follies to which he's now repenting in Ecclesiastes. He's repenting of that. And he's calling us to not follow his example as he went into his foolishness and his folly, that we would learn from him. And so whether it's an understanding the kingdom and experience and manners and decisions, etc., when a ruler turns the nation upside down and breaks it to pieces, when he's careless and cannot or will not discern between right and wrong, wise and foolish, that is a ruler who rules like a child. And what does the Scripture say of children generally? Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And Isaiah 3, as a judgment, it says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Rehoboam was like this. Right? He was 41 years old when he began to reign after Solomon, ruled like a child and divided the kingdom in two. Childlike rulers suffer the following. They're ignorant and forgetful, easily persuaded, turned easily. They're passionate, they're fearful, based upon quick impressions. They're addicted to vanities and pleasures. They're lustful and covetous, and so also able to be perverted by gifts that are brought to them. They're open similarly to flatteries. All these things describe a childlike ruler. Verse 16 says, it goes on, it says, "And thy princes eat in the morning." Just speaking about their lifestyle. They have nothing better in the mind and in their heart to do than make a god or idol of their belly and their pleasures. Proverbs 31, it says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." The first duty of a king is not to pleasure. It's not to entertainment, because you'll forget your duty. That's what he's saying there. "Thy princes eat in the morning." And in verse 17, it goes on, it says, "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." The ruler could be young, be a son of nobles, but being a young man is not folly. The folly is found in acting like a child. Here's the contrast with verse 16. Verse 16 is, "Woe to thee, O land!" And here, blessed. "Woe to thee, O land," verse 16, "curses upon the land when the king acts like a child and folly, because you're wicked and you've turned from me, nation. So I've given you a king who acts foolish. Cursed upon you, curses upon the land." And the Lord sets up, therefore, childlike rulers in the land where the people are wicked, foolish, the nation has rebelled. Verse 17. Verse 17 is the contrast to that, where even children rule yet are not living in folly. It's a blessing to a nation. You see, again, folly destroys. Folly destroys. A child here who rules, a son, is a son of nobles. He's himself is wise, he's godly. He's noble himself, and he discerns good and evil, right and wrong, and acts not on his emotions, but upon what is best for the nation. What is best for the nation is not what is best for the ruler, but what is best for all. And that, of course, is under the supremacy and rule of Jesus Christ. That is what is best for any nation. One commentator says, "This is true nobility, when piety, wisdom, righteousness, courage, and the fear of God adorn the royal blood and render persons of this quality truly illustrious and not dark, obscure, as mean people are." The verse says, "And thy princes eat in due season." Unless the foolish ruler who eats and feasts all the time, the wise prince, verse 17, eats in due season. There's a distinction there between verse 16 and 17. There are times to eat, time to enjoy God's good creation and feast, but labor and service to the nation as a ruler comes before that. Luke 12, it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, to feast with food, and will come forth and serve them." Work and labor come before eating. And what is the end of eating and drinking? For strength and not for drunkenness. So we think of what we've been called to in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is our eating together? What is that for? What is our drinking together for? It's not to be drunk and to be gluttons. It's for strength to serve Him, to keep serving Him. That's the reason we have food. We do not eat in order to feast and get drunk and be all in our pleasure. Neither must wise rulers. Blessed is the land that has wise rulers, but woe to thee, O land, when the ruler acts like a child and a fool. The folly of inexperience. Or the folly of, I don't know. The second point, folly of slothfulness. The folly of slothfulness or laziness. Verse 18. "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." Here we see in verses 18 and 19 a couple proverbs again. Here's a proverb to show the danger of being idle. You know, the Puritan says, idle hands find mischief to do. And I think that's actually in the Proverbs. The danger of procrastination. There's a great danger in slothfulness, laziness, and laziness and being idle. If we applied this to verse 16, it's the childlike ruler who searches out great pleasures and mirth and doesn't labor. Is idle, and the kingdom decays. Sometimes as homeowners, we focus on other things. Sometimes we are slothful and lazy, and the work that needs to be done around the house is often put off and put off so that we can rest, so that we can have pleasure and do other things. And what happens? Our houses keep decaying. It never stops. They're always decaying. And so you have to keep working just in your house or at your work. You have to keep working or everything decays. Because that's the nature of this world. But if we're staying on Solomon's topic, it seems that that topic is rulers. Verse 20. And so what we've had before, so the argument is here from the lesser in verse 18 to the greater. If this is true of your house, of a building, that you have to keep working at it. You have to keep laboring. You fix something, well, another thing starts decaying. You have to fix that. You have to keep going, keep working. So if this is true of your house, of a building, if you're lazy and all around always entertaining yourself and feasting in your pleasures, then your home decays. And it pretty much will come and be destroyed. It's the same with the nation. If a childlike, foolish ruler feasts in the morning and sits in his pleasure, if he's slothful and lazy and idle, then the kingdom and the nation will decay. But we ought to also apply this to the church. If we are, as God's people here in this congregation, lazy and slothful in coming and worshiping the Lord, the inner house of our soul decays. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through, it says. The walls rot, the floor goes, the roof leaks. Apply that to your heart and apply that to this congregation. If we are lazy in reading and meditating upon God's word and prayer, our souls decay. If we're lazy in our doctrine, we will decay into traditionalism. And traditionalism always decays and is destroyed, maybe not in you and at this time, but in the next generation. The next generation comes along. They see it for what it is. This is tradition. This is not based in God's word. And they rebel. We must know why we do what we do from Scripture. And keep pursuing that all of our lives. Keep studying. Teach our children and teach our grandchildren as we have opportunity. Keep pursuing it all of our lives. If you are in your soul are lazy, you're lazy in your examination of yourself and turning from sin, just you. You are a leaky roof. And if we're all weak and we all have different leaks in the roof, that will cause great harm to the body. The congregation. If we're lazy in our evangelism, in our discipling of those in the body and coming into the body, we will be stagnant. And eventually we will come to nothing. We'd be like an abandoned house collecting dust that smells like mildew and dust. Right? That's laziness in the church, beloved. If we aren't applying ourselves to the means of grace, the word, sacraments, and prayer, if we're not doing so in our homes, in private and family worship, if we aren't here morning and evening on the Lord's Day, we're slothful. And slothfulness is folly. And folly destroys. In verse 19, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. This is continuing the thought of verse 18. Of slothfulness. The lazy, slothful fool will feast and feast and be lazy and not work. They won't labor. Money is the answer for all things. Money will feed. Money will clothe. Money will purchase and extend the time, even in civil government. Today we just create money, right, as a government. Our government does. They create money, and that extends us some time while we can still be lazy and play the fool. But as we think of these two verses, beloved, the slothful, the lazy, those who don't labor and therefore don't support their houses, their families, and property. They spend their time lazing around, perhaps in feasting or luxury. But overall, they're lazy and do little to nothing. Well, how can one survive today doing so? Well, they're constantly spending money to keep things going. They get others to do the work. They spend their own money that's been saved up somehow, or they spend the government's money. And they're spending that to keep the feasting going and their laziness going. Now, all the money we have in savings, let that not be a reason as a church. Let that not be a reason we can sit here and be lazy in our faith. All that money you have at home saved up, let it not be a reason that you can sit at home and be lazy in your faith with your family, with your church. Your money doesn't save you. Money is destroyed. Moth and rust destroy it. The folly of slothfulness destroys, beloved. It destroys your family. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your faith. It will destroy this congregation. It will destroy this nation. Labor diligently, beloved, for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. But seek first His kingdom. And how do we do that? By keep laboring for Christ, weak as we are. The third point, folly of cursing. The folly of cursing, verse 20, it says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. All these rulers we have over us, many childlike, they play the part of the fool. They're bringing judgment upon the nation because of the nation's sins. Don't blame the ruler. Blame the nation. Blame the peoples and their sin, and you're part of that nation. When we look at them, we consider them, those rulers. Solomon here calls us not to curse them. Evil rulers can raise up from our hearts disloyal thoughts and emotions. But even though they may be our enemies, we're called by the Lord to love our enemies, to pray for them, and pray for our rulers. Romans 12 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Timothy 2, I made mention of it when we prayed. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If it's good to God, then it's good. It has to be good to us. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Curse not the king. Love the king and pray for him. Does that mean we can't stand or can't state what is true about what the king has done? Of course we can state what is true. Truth is true. Or the truth is truth. But from that truth, do not curse. You ought not to wish any evil on your rulers either. Though you must pray for justice. You must pray in justice that the Lord would show mercy in Christ. He would save these people. You'd save your rulers, save your enemies, that they would rule wisely. That's good for you. And then it says, curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. So don't do it in private. That's what he's saying. In your thoughts, it even says, doesn't it? Don't even do this in your thoughts. When he says here the rich, he means the governors. The governors, the rulers are rich, but do not curse the governor, the more local rulers in private. Why? It gives reason why this is foolish. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. The ruler will find out. The king will find out. It will come back upon you. It will hinder the message of the gospel that you want to take to this rich governor or king. And beloved, above all, he who hears from heaven knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is his command. Curse not the king. No, not in thy thought. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart, even the curses and seeking after vengeance in your heart and your thoughts. And he sends, what did he say? Vengeance is mine. Instead of cursing your rulers, pray for them, pray for their salvation, pray calling upon the Lord to bring about true justice, to bring about his vengeance upon those that he has deemed to show it upon the wicked. Beloved, trust in the Lord, not yourself. If there are wicked rulers, the Lord will surely judge them at the right time. But for now, they are his instruments of judgment upon the nation. And so instead of focusing so much on the wickedness of the rulers, we focus on the wickedness of the rulers. Instead of doing that, as we heard this morning, let's focus our attention on the nation around us. The peoples around us, how they need the gospel of Jesus Christ, lest they all be judged finally in our nation too, fully. Let us focus on laboring for the kingdom, not in slothfulness, in which we'd be even more in idleness, more apt to curse, more apt to complain, because if we're busy serving Christ, we don't have time to complain. Focus our labor in His kingdom, not in slothfulness, but in service to King Jesus. This chapter has called us to put all the folly off, because folly destroys. Do not be foolish and destroy yourself and destroy those around you and all that you've worked for. But look above the sun and continue to look above the sun to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and put on wisdom. Wisdom comes from Him. So come unto Jesus for your life, and come unto Jesus for your salvation, and you come unto Jesus for your wisdom. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for what we hear in this book of Scripture, in Ecclesiastes, that you would help us by your Spirit, cause us by your Spirit to understand and know that vanity of vanities, all is vanity under the sun. That we would not put it on, these vanities, but we would put it off, put it to death, and we would look above the sun. And we would not live for here and now, but we would live in hope of eternity. And we will be with you forever and ever. We thank you for this foretaste, the Lord's Day's worship. Pray that you would bless us for Christ's sake, not because we deserve it. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.